Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Continuing with glorification of the all-glorious, ever-glorious Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Vishnu, or more fondly referred to by followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Krishna. This last name, Aprameyatma, this appears previously as almost the same name, Aprameya. So, some slight differences there. The suffix Atma, or the, well, could be the, no, that's actually the noun, and Aprameya is the adjective. So, that underlines that he is a person. Generally, the impersonalists, they like to take terms like aprameya, immeasurable, and take this as evidence that the Supreme is impersonal. They take the fact that Krishna is a person to claim that he is not the ultimate supreme. Because a person is in one place, his body has a certain height, weight, certain features, but unlimited should be mean of unlimited height, of not any specific features. This is according to the impersonal understanding. Because if he has one kind of feature, then he doesn't have another kind of feature. If he has a long nose, then he doesn't have a short nose, for instance. If he's of bluish complexion, then he's not of reddish complexion, and so on. And that he's in one place means that he's not everywhere. This is the less intelligent proposition of the impersonalists, who do not understand that although Krishna is a person, he is this supreme, unlimited, absolute reality. He's simultaneously everywhere and localized. That means unlimited, not just to be everywhere. If you say he's not localized, then he's not unlimited. If we think that unlimited means to be only without specific qualities, then that's a limitation on, and that then he's not unlimited. So Krishna transcends the weak reasoning of the impersonalists. The name 250 is Vishishta. He transcends all in his glory. He is eminent, excellent. So this is one of those names which is a very general term. Includes it, all his qualities are included in this. Some names point to one quality. For instance, Shama means that he refers to his complexion. Or Shangadhar means he holds a bow by the name of Shanga. So that's a particular quality. But other names such as Vishishta the name which is given today, or just now, or sadhu, or uttama. These names, they refer to all his qualities. So everything about him is excellent, of the best possible quality and more. The best possible, well, that's within the realm of our thought. But Krishna is beyond the realm of our thought. Ulangita trividha sima. He's beyond the realm of our thinking, our measuring, our specifying. Not that he's without specifics, but the specifics of his qualities are such that we can only indicate them by language. We can't precisely describe them. So, he's superior in all ways. His whatever qualities we see in him, his mercy far exceeds the mercy of any mundane mercy. His beauty far exceeds any mundane beauty. His happiness far exceeds any thing conceived of as happiness within this world. He excels in everything, whatever he does. He's simply the best. He transcends everything. He's beautiful, but he's beautiful to such a degree that his beauty is completely in a different dimension to that of us human beings. So, generally when we think of a superior being, we think in terms of how they're very intelligent and very powerful and can dominate us and do dominate others. But the devotees, they recognize that these qualities are there in Krishna, of course. Krishna is the most powerful, Krishna the most opulent, but his qualities, his excellent qualities, such as kindness, mercy, gratefulness, these are the qualities that bind the devotees to him with love. There are some religious systems in this world that largely focus on the power of God, and that we should be afraid of him, we should fear him, because he's so powerful that if we don't fear him, he'll smash us. I will smite him ad infinitum. So we learned in school, God speaking. But his actual quality is not to smite others, but to uplift others, to pure. Of course, he does smite them also. You know what smite means? It means something like smash. But the quality by which devotees are attracted to him are his purity, his genuine love and concern for all living beings. So this attracts, this makes him Krishna. Vishishta is also the name of the philosophy of Sri Ramanujacharya, Vishishtadvaita. That means that Advaita means everything is in one sense one with God, but at the same time, it's a qualified oneness. It's not an absolute oneness. Shankara's philosophy is Kevala Advaita, only oneness. no possibility of anything else. But Ramanuja's philosophy is one of oneness. Yes, everything is one with God in the sense that nothing is separate from him. But at the same time, it's a qualified oneness because we're not nothing, but he is supreme. And so everything else is one with him in an inferior role or in the role of a part to the whole. Sharira Shariri Bhav, which was strongly criticized later by Madhvacharya. Anyway, name 251 is Shishtakrit. So we have the names Vishishta Shishtakrit. So although the two names Vishishta and Shishtakrit, they're not very closely related, but there's some alliteration, is there? The shishta, this, what would you call that? Two vowels and two consonants. Shishta, Vishishta, Shishtakrit. So Shishta means cultured, wise, learned, eminent, disciplined. In Vedic culture, there's this term Shishta often comes up to refer to persons who are exemplars, often elderly people, not always elderly. And there's also the term Shishtacha, which means the behavior of eminent people. So that is given as an example of the behavior that we should try to also follow. That in tradition, we see how do the learned, the wise, the self-disciplined, how do such people behave? And then by seeing that, we should model our behavior on theirs. That is called Shishtacha. Arjuna, he asked several times he asked such questions to Krishna in the first, about the behavior, especially in the second chapter, about the behavior of the Shishtas. Stita pragyasya ka bhasha samadhi stasya keshava stita dhi king prabhasheta kimasita vrajeta kim. Arjuna asks Krishna, how does a person who is fixed in transcendental consciousness talk? How does he walk? How does he sit? How does he converse? So it's understood that people of elevated consciousness, they don't behave in the same way as ordinary people. So how to come to that platform? That is by Krishna's mercy. He makes, Shishtakrit means he makes Shishtas, or one who has made Shishtas, one who has made eminent people. Now this is important considering that the next few names coming up after the next one, they're all concerned, several names concerned with Siddhi or perfection. So it's Krishna who gives that. That's one of Krishna's names here, Siddhida. So it's Krishna who makes one great. Someone who wants to be great, that is in itself an illicit desire. Those who are actually great, they don't try to be great. In the material sense, someone may try to be great by becoming a leader in any field, especially the political field. or in any line as a sports person, they practice to become the best. But first, anyway, though such people, they also need Krishna's mercy to become great in their line. But that is not greatness at all. Real greatness is to understand, or real greatness begins with the understanding that all these achievements that people in this world think are great, they're all meaningless. So when one desists from such meaningless pursuits, then simply by that very fact of detachment from that which everyone else in this world is either striving for or glorifies, simply by that detachment, one becomes great. So, Shishta means here wisdom. When I was speaking on wisdom, proper behavior, eminent, respected, all these terms. Respected for being wise, self-controlled, this kind of respect. Different kinds of people are respected for different reasons. But those who are respected by persons who are cultured because they themselves are, because those persons who are respected are exemplars of culture and learning and proper behavior, they are Shishta. And Krishna, he gives that quality by which even in this world, which is a world of forgetfulness of Krishna, a world of kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya, of lust, greed, anger, illusion, pride, and envy, even in this world, by Krishna's mercy, one can become free from all such lower tendencies and actually become a great person by becoming free from those tendencies and becoming fixed in Krishna consciousness. Stitadhi means fixed intelligence. So, Shishta also means discipline, or it means command. So in this sense, Krishna, he gives commands via the Shastra. So Shishtakrit in this sense means Shastrakrit, one who makes the Shastra. Shastra also gives the sense, the very word gives the sense of discipline. Yeah, I just recently spoke on sadhu, the name sadhu. So I spoke there about how Krishna is himself saintly and he makes others saintly, but that description would maybe better appear here because he makes his devotees shishta, he makes his devotees eminent, respected for their saintly qualities, even though devotees, they don't desire to be respected. But Krishna, he makes them respected. Even though they don't desire that and they try to avoid that. But it is proper that Krishna's devotees be respected for their qualities so that others can begin to understand the greatness of such devotees, and that we should follow such devotees and also try to develop such qualities in Krishna consciousness. By Krishna gives Shastra, he helps people's faith to become strong in that. Those who are saintly. In Gita, Krishna said, he speaks of the those who worship various demigods. Yepi anya devata bhakta yajanti shadayanvita tepi mameva. No, that's not the verse. Tepi mameva kaunteya yajanti vidhi purvakam. Those who worship different demigods, they do so, they, in one sense they worship Krishna, but they do so in a wrong way, not according to the rules of Shastra. So, yo, yo, yang, yang, tanung, bhakta, shraddha, achitam, ichchati, tasya, tasya, chalang, shraddham, tadeva, vidithamyaham. Krishna says that whatever, yo, yo, yang, yang, tanung, bhakta, whatever one becomes devoted to, Krishna says, I award such persons unshakable faith in that in which one is devoted to. So if Krishna gives faith even to the non-devotees to believe in all kinds of things, to believe in demigods, to believe in nationalism, to believe in humanism, and all these different inauspicious combination or manifestations of ignorance, then surely Krishna will give faith to the devotee if he's sincere. Krishna will give faith in Shastra, and by following the principles of Shastra, the devotees, they become the most elevated of peaceful persons. Peaceful because Krishna bhakti nishkam ataiv shanta bhakti mukti siddhi kami shakali ashanta. Devotees are peaceful because they have no personal desires. Whereas the non-devotees, the materialists, the gross materialists, those who are seeking for liberation, those who are seeking for yogic siddhis, they cannot be peaceful because they have unfulfilled desires. Whereas the devotees are always fully satisfied in Krishna's service. Bhavantamevanu charan nirantara prashanta nishesha manoratantara kadaham aikantika nitya kinkara praharshaya shami sanata jivita. Yamunacharya prays to Krishna that when will I be known as your own personal servant, always engaged incessantly in your service, fully satisfied and peaceful with all material desires left far behind, all the jumping up and down of the mind, the vagaries of the mind, long left far behind. Then he prays that I will be just like a person who had no master. Now I have a master, so I'm very fixed and happy in that service. So one becomes peaceful and elevated by serving Krishna. And Krishna, he makes his devotees elevated. He shows that his devotees are the best of all. And he did that. There are so many cases. Practically the whole of the Bhagavatam shows that. How Ambarish Maharaj, Krishna demonstrated to Durvasa Muni, who was possibly the greatest yogi, the most powerful yogi, the most respected yogi, but Krishna actually humiliated him in order to show the greatness of his devotee in comparison to this yogi who was celibate, a brahmana, highly accomplished in yoga practice, but Ambarish Maharaj was a grihastha. He had not performed any yoga practice, although he was observing fasting. He was a kshatriya, so he had no apparent qualities or qualifications in comparison to Durvasa. But Krishna practically humiliated Durvasa to demonstrate to Durvasa and to the world the greatness of his devotees. So Krishna elevates his devotees. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj, Hiranyakashipu, was so great, but he became humiliated by the little boy Prahlad. Because Prahlad, without doing any austerities like Hiranyakashipu had done, quite nonchalantly just didn't care at all for Hiranyakashipu's power. Even the great demigods in heaven were very afraid of Hiranyakashipu's power. But Prahlad, he didn't care at all. So Krishna elevated Prahlad and destroyed Hiranyakashipu. The Pandavas, they appeared to be completely down and out, completely finished. Their throne had been usurped, and their position and their power and glory had been usurped by Duryodhana and company. But Krishna ultimately made the Pandavas glorious. So that's what one of the things that Krishna does. He himself is so glorious, but he likes to make his devotees glorious. One time, many years ago, I was speaking to a group of lawyers, and after this was in India, and after I'd given a little speech, one of them said that, well, you're saying Vishnu is supreme, but we see that Hanuman, he jumped to Lanka, but Rama, he had to build a bridge. So isn't Hanuman greater than Rama? So I replied that he jumped, that is the mercy of Rama. He gave the ability to Hanuman to jump, and he presented himself as if less capable because he likes to give credit to his devotees. He likes to glorify his devotees. He did it. Rama, he doesn't need to do anything. Doesn't need to do anything. But whatever he does for enjoyment of his own pastimes and for glorification of his devotees. So Krishna elevates his devotees. He protects through the laws. He gives the shastra, which are protection. They're restrictions, yes, but they're restrictions that lead to protection. They're not restrictions to keep us down, but they're restrictions that elevate us. The shastra restricts us from sense gratification. In the modern world, any law that restricts people from sense gratification, people think that that is very bad. And therefore, the general understanding is that whatever you can do whatever you like as long as it doesn't grossly, overtly harm anyone. So everything's okay. You can kill animals because they're not people, according to misunderstanding. You can have sex with anything that moves or doesn't move, as long as it's consensual, and the object of your lust is not underage. So, of course, if it's an animal, then I guess the age factor doesn't weigh in. But the laws of Shastra are different to the laws of the demoniac state. The laws of the Shastra restrict us from sense gratification to purify us and to elevate us. In the demoniac society, people think they're elevated if they have more money and therefore more opportunity for sense gratification. But Krishna protects his devotees by giving the laws of Shastra, which protect us from sense gratification. In Vedic understanding, he's not the person who has most money and most opportunity for sense gratification who is most glorious, but a person who voluntarily practices becoming detached from all these things. So Krishna himself is sadhu, he follows the law, he comes to this world and shows us the example of how to follow the law, and by preaching Krishna consciousness, either directly or through others, he gets others to follow the law and also makes them into sadhus, makes them into shishta. So, Hare Krishna. Should I say one more? Okay, next name is Shuchihi, which means pure. This name was already discussed 95 names earlier, but it should be discussed again. Krishna is pure. Shuchi means pure. So, that should be understood. Krishna is not impure. Even there's nothing that Krishna can do to make himself impure. You say, well, then he's not good. Well, yes, in one sense, impure. He may pose as being impure in his lila, just like after he killed Aghasura. Then Radha, she accused Krishna, now you've killed a bull, so you've become impure. And as a result, Shyamakund was constructed by Krishna and his friends, and then Radhakund by Radha and her friends. So in one sense, yes, in Leela, Krishna may appear to be impure, but actually he's always pure. And even activities that he performs that would be the cause of others becoming impure, Krishna does not become impure by them, but rather he demonstrates his purity by which he doesn't become impure. He doesn't become touched by the contaminations of material nature. So Krishna lies, Krishna steals, he takes away the clothes of the gopis, he takes away the wives of the cowherd men. And in so many ways, he appears to be not at all pure, but actually he's so pure that by remembering these pastimes, one also becomes pure. By chanting his names, one becomes pure. So, even though we just had the names of Asankhya, uncountable, and Aprameya Atma, this the person who is not provable. So even though Krishna has got unlimited transcendental qualities, this is a common term at the beginning of his commentary on Vishnu Sahasranama. Baladeva Vidyabhushan also refers to this. Ananta Kalyana Guna Vishishta, one who is decorated by all transcendental qualities which are beneficial for everyone. This particular term doesn't come, but a very similar term comes at the beginning of Baladeva Vidyabhushan's commentary, the very first line. So his purity is such, he's so pure that even by remembering him, one becomes purified. What to speak of visiting his holy place or chanting his names? Srila Prabhupada sometimes commented that how can you say that Krishna is impure or immoral when by chanting his names one becomes purified? So Krishna is all pure in every respect. Everything he does, everything he thinks, his names are pure, everything about him is pure, just like everything about him is sweet, everything about him is exalted, everything about him is attractive. So among the qualities that make him attractive is that he's always pure, therefore he's known as Shuchi, which means the pure. uncontaminated by anything material in any sense whatsoever. Krishna can never come under the modes of material nature. He's always transcendental. Impure from our point of view, or from our understanding, means in contact with the modes of material nature. But Krishna is always aloof, he's always above that. So, simply by hearing of or remembering him, all the living beings become purified and the entire world becomes auspicious. So that is the task given to us by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to spread this Sankirtan movement so that simply by hearing about Krishna, people will become purified. They'll become purified, they'll become happy. They'll become free from birth and death. They'll become blissful in love of Krishna. So, that is possible, but Krishna is so pure. Then, simply by hearing about him, remembering him, glorifying him, one also becomes pure. What is that verse? Shrimanti Gayanti Smaranti Nandanti. Shrimanti Gayanti Abhikshnasha Smaranti Nandanti Tavehitang Janaha Te Eva Pashantya Chirena Tavakam Bhava Prabaho Paramang Padam Bhujam. Kunti Devi says to Krishna that those who hear about you or sing about you constantly and remember you or take pleasure in others doing so, such persons, they will certainly see you very soon, and as a result, they will no longer have to see repeated birth and death. Krishna is so pure that we may try to become purified by our own endeavors, practicing yoga, or there's the sense of ritual purity for those who are performing this karmakanda activities, so they can become purified of material reactions and go to the heavenly planets. That is one level of purification. But complete purification means to be Krishna conscious, to be fully Krishna conscious without any personal desire or without any personal attachment. And that comes how? Simply by remembering Krishna, simply by chanting about Krishna. So discussing these names of Vishnu Sahasranam, it's also very purifying because the subject is Krishna, only Krishna. So this is the best purification, chanting his holy names. Baladev Vidyabhushan says that simply by hearing of or remembering him, all living entities become purified and the entire world becomes auspicious. So therefore, preaching of Krishna consciousness is also required. We often think of many different techniques how to preach, but the basic technique is to glorify Krishna. Let others be purified by coming in contact with Krishna, by chanting his names, hearing his names, taking prasadam, hearing the philosophy spoken by Krishna and hearing descriptions of him. So, in this way, because Krishna is so pure that if we come in contact with him, we become purified. If we think, well, I can't become purified, that's a kind of, if we think, I'm so very fallen, I can't become purified, that's a kind of egoism to think like that, in which we think that our own impurity is more powerful and more prominent than Krishna's purity. So I'm so impure that even Krishna can't purify me. That's It's a challenge to Krishna. It's like this idea of Satan. He becomes the competitor to God, and God's struggling with him, and God just gets the upper hand, although it looks actually as if Satan has the upper hand and not God at all. So we should be confident that if we daily chant the holy names of Krishna, remember Krishna, Krishna will purify us, because he's so pure. It's just like if the sun comes in the sky, then there's light. We don't have to bring a candle. Of course, there may be clouds in the sky, but the effect of the light is still there. So, Krishna is overwhelmingly pure. Therefore, we should remember him and chant his names. Tannama rupacharitadi sukirtananu smrityo kramena rasana manasini yoja tishti vraje tadanugami jananuragi kalam nayad ityakilam upadeshasaram. The essence of all advice is that one should live in Vrindavan under the tutelage of a devotee who has developed or who has natural attraction for Krishna, and in that situation one should always chant the names of Krishna and remember his forms and qualities and pastimes. This is the essence of all advice. So if we can't directly live in Vrindavan, the recommendation is that we can do so mentally. So, Hare Krishna. Let us become purified by remembering Krishna. So, any thoughts, questions, comments about all this? Yes, please. Is the result different by chanting different names like Narayana and Krishna? Generally, the name Narayana is chanted by persons who are attracted to Narayana, which means Krishna. But specifically, Krishna as the Lord of all opulence. Whereas if we chant Krishna, Gopala, Govinda, Gokulananda, these are names in which the devotee cultivates more the mood of serving Krishna in his Vrindavan pastimes. So it's not that the residents of Vaikuntha or those who aspire for that don't chant the name Krishna, and it's not that the devotees of Krishna don't chant names, which are generally more connected with his opulence. We find even in the 10th canto, in the description of Gopi Leela, there also the name Vishnu is there. Also in the description of, in many places, in the Damodar Ashtakam, Damodar is completely a Vrindavan Leela. There's that line is there. Namo Deva Damodar Ananta Vishnu. So the name comes also, Vishnu. But generally, yeah, the names like Krishna, Gopal, Govinda, Shyamasundar, Trivangasundar, all these names, that they're names which are chanted by devotees who are attempting to worship Krishna in this mood, tishte vrajete danuragi jana anugami, following in the footsteps of devotees who are attached to Krishna in Vrindavan. Anything else? Anyone else? Yeah, please. in the mode of goodness, at the end it's nectar. What is the end? Well, that's actually the English translation. Pariname mritopamam, it's stated. Yatadegre vishamiva pariname mritopamam. That which seems like poison in the beginning, but nectar at the end. So that's a way of expressing it in English. But the Sanskrit says that which in the beginning is like poison, but which becomes transformed into nectar, pariname mritopa. It doesn't actually say the end, like it's all over, finished. There's nowhere to go from here. It's just a way of expressing it in English. So, the end of the mode of goodness, well, there is no end. As long as you're in the modes of nature, then it just goes on and on and on. You can go from the mode of goodness down to the mode of ignorance. Or one can go up and up and up and go beyond the modes and go to Krishna. The mode of goodness is better, because one can begin to think, see things clearly. Satvam sanjayate jnanam. From the mode of goodness develops knowledge. But complete knowledge means knowledge of Krishna. That also, the mode of goodness that has the effect of thinking of being materially happy and peaceful, and then just being content with that and not going further. So the mode of goodness has its advantages and its disadvantages also. It's still within the modes of nature. So, yeah, the ultimate stage is prashanta nishesha manoratantara. That's in Krishna consciousness, one becomes completely peaceful. All one's material hankerings and attachments are all finished. And all the somersaults of the mind are also finished. Ah, yeah. Yeah, I finished that.
I was just thinking that often when I read the songs of the devotees, the pure devotees and the Krishna, in one sense they don't appear peaceful.
Ah, yes. Yeah, devotees always appear to be, the pure devotees, they don't appear to be peaceful. Yeah. There was some idiot, PhD, so-called, who did his thesis on Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he diagnosed him as having manic depression. Because he sometimes appeared to, from his songs, he appears to be very happy and sometimes very sad. And actually, if you see Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he sings like that, sometimes as if very sad. Amigotihin, I have no hope, he sings. That Amar jivan shada pape rata nahika punera lesh. In my whole life, it's all full of sin without even a trace of any piety. So he sings like that. And other time, in other songs, he sings that very happily that, what is that?
Tomar
shevai duk hoy jato sheito paramashuk. He says that, well, there's the key. He says, in your service, all unhappiness is the greatest happiness. So yeah, the pure devotees are intensely emotional in Krishna's service. It's not a ritual or a formula or a duty, but separation from Krishna or the sense of being materially conditioned makes them feel very grief-stricken. Whereas the engagement in Krishna's service makes them feel very happy. And just, there's one song in which he expresses that, which I just can't remember now. He says that Since I've become surrendered to you, I'm feeling chodike anandadeke. I see everywhere happiness in all directions. So it seems that devotees are not very peaceful. From the material point of view, they may not be very peaceful, but their mind is very peaceful because they're fixed in Krishna. But at the same time, there is prem vivarta, the transformations of love, by which they're peaceful in the material sense because na shochati na kangshati. They don't lament for whatever they may have had previously and they don't have now. And they don't hanker to get anything. They're beyond all material lamentation and aspiration. But in pure devotional service, there is transcendental anxiety, transcendental agitation of the mind. That's beyond Vaikuntha. In Vaikuntha, there's not much of that. There's simply peacefulness in Krishna's service. But beyond that, we find, for instance, Mother Yashoda is always full of anxiety. Krishna's gone outside, maybe again some demon will attack him. Just the very fact that she can't see him, that gives her anxiety. The gopis, they're cursing, or not exactly cursing, but criticizing Lord Brahma. What a useless creator. He doesn't know what he's doing. He makes these eyes so that they blink, and then when we blink, we can't see Krishna. So it is a state that is materially completely peaceful because one is beyond all material anxiety, but in a state of spiritual anxiety, which is the highest happiness. So, yeah, when we speak of peacefulness, that means in relationship to this material condition of mental somersaults and desiring and lamenting. But spiritual bliss is also full of anxiety and sometimes anger and turbulence, but that's all in relationship to Krishna. So that's the highest bliss. If you want complete peacefulness, then the best place is Vaikuntha. Or maybe the impersonal Brahman. You're very peaceful there. What's the use? Peace is not the ultimate goal of a devotee. His goal is service to Krishna. Prem. Prem prayojan. Prema pumarto mahan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed that the highest aspiration of a devotee is to attain pure love of Krishna. Ah, yeah, that's that. Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu. Bhajana Anukula. So he's describing all that which is. He says in there, what is that? There are many in there. He says that Jugala Murti Dekhi Amor Parama Ananda Hoy. When I see the forms of Radha Govinda, then I experience the highest happiness. But there's one song in particular. When he's expressed, it's just an expression of his happiness in surrender to Krishna, which I can't remember now. Toma Charan. I can't remember. I don't think you know it, any of you. That's in which he's expressing his great happiness. I know it, but Just not remembering it. So, Hare Krishna. Everyone should be in anxiety. How to serve Krishna better? Then we'll lose all our material anxiety. Hare Krishna.